Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Well, thank you so much, Amber. And please do keep that Bible reading open in front of you, whether it's in your Bibles that you've brought or in the leaflet in front of you. Please do also grab a glass of cold water from the back at any time if you're getting hot. There is some water up the back. Why don't we pray, though, now, as we come to look at Jesus and see what he has come to do, not just for children, but for all of us. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is not too proud to associate with children, people who can do nothing for him, but calls them to come to him. And Father, we thank you that Jesus is not too proud to associate with people like us, but calls us to come to him too. Father, we pray that if we haven't yet, we might come to him even today. And if we have already come to Jesus, that we might stick with him. And that your words to us now would help us do just that. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I mean, it has been a really great day today already, hasn't it, of celebrating a little person, Ezra, and of celebrating his family as they promised to raise Ezra to know and love Jesus. But believe it or not, today is also a day not just for us to celebrate Ezra, but also to learn from him. Because according to Jesus, Ezra can teach us how to enter the kingdom of God. Now, that may seem like a rather surprising thing to say. I mean, we love kids, and of course they're especially sweet on days like today, but we don't normally think of kids as being able to teach us things. I mean, normally it's the other way around, isn't it? We're the ones who teach kids. It's not kids who teach us. We even said it in the baptism liturgy that we all just read together today, didn't we? Hendre and Jess promised to teach Ezra about Jesus so he could grow up to know him. We teach children. It's not children who teach us. But according to the passage that we just read, Jesus said that Ezra can teach us something. In fact, he can teach us the most important thing we can ever know, how to enter the kingdom of God. Now, how? Well, that's what we're going to see in just the next few minutes. People are bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, presumably to receive some kind of blessing. But for some reason, Jesus' disciples want to stop them doing this. Listen to chapter 10, verse 13. It's up on the screen. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. Now, we're not sure why they're doing this. It may be that the disciples think that Jesus is a very important person and so shouldn't be wasting time with children. Now, that actually makes sense in a way, doesn't it? I mean, for example, when the US president comes to visit Australia, his aides or her aides don't book in lots of meetings with children, do they? You can just imagine the meeting before the tour for the day. Who have we got on the schedule today, Chuck? Well, Mr. President... We've got Faisal Sumar from grade 6 at 9 a.m, Sarah Jenkins from grade 2 at 10 a.m, then we've got a meet and greet with a bunch of babies at 12, and then you're free until the state dinner at 5 p.m. at Puddle Jumpers Daycare, where the menu will be fish fingers and carrot sticks, please no nuts. Maybe the same thing is going on here. The disciples think that Jesus, rightly think this, is the king of God's kingdom, and so he won't possibly be interested in spending time with children. Maybe it's some other reason. But whatever the reason is, Jesus' disciples don't want children near Jesus. They rebuke the children and their parents. Now, to our modern ears, this sounds so strange. In our culture, where children are valued so highly, we can't imagine why adults would do this. It would be a little bit like one of Santa's elves at the shopping centre at Christmas, driving families away from having photos with Santa. But we've got to remember that in the ancient world, children were much less valued. I mean, of course, their parents still loved them just as much as we love our kids. That's not changed. But as a society, children had a much lower status. They couldn't do anything, so they weren't as valuable. Which makes Jesus' response to his disciples so surprising. Because far from agreeing with his disciples, yes, I'm much too important to spend time with children, so could they please go away? He's angry with the disciples and demands that they let the children come to him. Look at it there in verse 14. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." Now, the word for indignant here is actually very strong. Elsewhere in contemporary literature at the time, this same word can be used to describe the angry snorting of a horse. Imagine a war horse getting ready to charge into battle and it kind of snorts in rage. That's the same kind of thing that Jesus is doing here. Jesus is not just a bit peeved with his staff at the moment. No, he is properly furious with the disciples for stopping children coming to him. Why? Well, he tells us in the next sentence. Verse 14, "For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Little children should be allowed to come to Jesus because the kingdom of God belongs to people like them. Let's unpack that for a moment. First of all, what does Jesus mean by the kingdom of God? Well, basically, the kingdom of God is that state of being where God is your king and you are his subject. You see, according to Jesus, all of us as human beings have rejected God. All of us, in our own way, have said to God, "I don't want you to be in charge of my life. I want to be in charge of my life. I want to be king. I want to call the shots." And that means you have to go. It's what the Bible calls sin. And Jesus also says that if we stay in that way of life, stay in our own kingdom, God is right to punish us. God, the real King of life, will say to us, "Look, I love you and I'm your father, but you just can't treat me like that. If you don't stop, I will have to cut you off from me entirely, let you live in your own kingdom forever and never enter my kingdom, which will be much better." It's what he calls hell. But Jesus finally says that if we want to switch kingdoms and enter God's kingdom, we can through him. Jesus preached that he was God's king, and that if anyone wanted to come and live under his rule, they could. All we've got to do is admit that we're wrong and ask for his forgiveness. And Jesus said that he can give us that forgiveness because on the cross, he died for our sins, paying the price, so that if we ask for forgiveness and ask him to die in our place, he can, because that's what he came to do. That's the offer that Jesus makes. This is the guts of Christianity. Admit that your kingdom stinks. Ask forgiveness for setting it up. But come and live in my kingdom with a king who will actually care for you. That's the kingdom of God. And Jesus says that the way to enter this kingdom is to be like a little child. Now, what does he mean by that? What particular part of childhood, of children, are we meant to imitate that will get us into the kingdom of God? Well, some people have thought that what he means is that we need to be innocent like little children. The way you get into the kingdom of God is to become innocent, because that's what little children are and that's what God wants from us. Now, of course, that's got two problems. The first problem is we're just not innocent. So even if I try and be innocent, I can't be. The second problem is that anyone who's spent even 5 minutes with a child knows that that is not an accurate description of them. Little children are many things, but innocent is not one of them. Just spend 5 minutes with a kid. Adorable. Totally get it. Innocent? Not so much. Maybe others have said, what you need to be is, well, they never say it like this, but basically gullible.
You know, children, well, they just believe everything they're told. And so you should just do that too. Like Jesus, he tells you, you should just trust in him. And so you, just like a child blindly trusts in their parents or their caregivers, you should also blindly trust in him. But that's not what the Bible says we should do with Jesus either. The Bible actually says far from be gullible, far from just believe what we're told, we should actually test what we're told so that we can see if it's true. And also, it would seem very unlikely that that's what Jesus meant here, because in my experience, generally telling people to be gullible is not a very good tactic if you want them to believe you. Now, the one thing about little children that Jesus says we all have to have to enter the kingdom of God is not innocence, we don't have that, nor gullibility, we shouldn't have that, but helplessness. You see, when you think about it, that's the one thing that all little children have in common, isn't it? Helplessness. And Jesus says that to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be helpless too. I mean, think about it. When Ezra goes home today with his family, he is not going to cook the family lunch. That is not going to be the scene in the Jansen Van Vuren household today. Everyone sits down and Ezra races around making sure everyone has a cup of tea or coffee and then dashes off to the kitchen to prepare them all a nice lunch. No, that's not going to happen. No, what Ezra is going to do when Ezra gets home is nothing. He's just going to lie there, letting other people do things for him. And nobody is going to bat an eyelid about that because he's a baby and that's what babies do. They let people help them. Well, Jesus says that's what we've got to do if we're going to enter the kingdom of God. You see, lots of us know that we've done the wrong thing and that God couldn't possibly be happy with us because of that. But some of us also think, well, maybe we can fix that for ourselves. We think to ourselves, maybe particularly in a new year, well, surely if I just turn over a new leaf, try harder, work on myself, I can fix that problem. I can make myself acceptable to God. But I can't. Neither can you. We're too far gone for that. Human beings have abandoned the God of the universe. And even if we started loving and obeying him now perfectly, there would still be that backlog of all the stuff we've done wrong in the past, which we can't deal with or change. So what can we do? Well, nothing, says Jesus. And that's the point. There's nothing we can do to enter God's kingdom. So all we can do is ask for help. If you and I are going to enter the kingdom of God, we've got to admit that there's nothing we can do to make ourselves right with God. All we can do is ask for mercy. That's what it means to be like a child in this sense. In fact, it's so important that Jesus says that if we're not willing to do that, we can't come in. Verse 15, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And yet if you want to, you can. Verse 16. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. When the Queen, the late Queen, and Prince Philip came on their very first visit to Australia in 1954, as you would imagine, security was pretty tight. This was the first time the brand new monarch and her young strapping husband had come to visit this far here in Australia. And so the police were very nervous to make sure that it all went off without a hitch. But despite all of that security, all of that policing, that didn't stop Narelle Dick, 4 years old, from making her way through the security and getting up to the monarchs on their platform. Can you imagine being the police chief in that situation? How embarrassed would you be? Oh, don't worry, Your Majesties. Security's very tight here. Oh, apart from four-year-olds, we can't stop them. Now, because of that embarrassment, the police, well, they swooped in on little Narelle, didn't they? They wanted her out of there as quickly as possible. PR disaster. But what did the Queen do? No, she shooed the police away. And she smiled at Narelle. And she took her up on her lap. And then she passed her to Prince Philip, who did the same. And then she gently passed them back to the police and asked them to gently return her to her parents. And they went on with their visit. You know what? Narelle says she's been a monarchist ever since. Well, you know, Jesus is the same. Jesus is not a king who wants his security detail to stop people from coming to him. No, he wants everyone to come to him, no matter who they are. And all they've got to do is ask for help, like a child asks for help. And he will give it. This passage isn't saying that little kids automatically are part of God's kingdom. No, kids have got to ask for help just like the rest of us. And it's certainly not saying that baptism makes us right with God. No, this is just a picture of what God will do for people if and when we ask for that help. But what Jesus is saying here is that all of us, child or adult, can come into the kingdom of God, but there's only one way to do it, humbly, by admitting we need help and asking for it. And then if we do, Jesus will smile at us and pull us up into his lap and say, yes, you can stay. And that's a very great promise, no matter what age you are. So let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you that there is only one way to enter the kingdom of God, but the only way to do that is to admit that we're helpless. We don't need to be particularly good people. We're not. We know that. All we need to do is admit that, though, and then we can actually come into your hands, strong and kind. Father, we pray that if we've not yet done that, you might humble us, and we will do that. We'll become like little kids, people willing to come into Jesus' arms, not because of our worthiness, but because of his. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.